Welcome back to World Football Daily here on the Wednesday edition of the show. I am, of course, Oliver the Deuce Wilson, and I'm delighted to be joined by a man who's making his first appearance of 2013 here on World Football Daily, Matthew Barker, freelance Italian football journalist, joining us on the show today. Matt, happy new year, mate. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you? Happy new year, and happy new year to all the listeners.
And I'm sure they're wishing it back to you in return there, Matthew. It's been a busy start to the Italian season this 2013. Juventus unable to win so far, and it's costing them dear as Lazio are nipping at their heels in the Serie A title race.
Yeah, it's kind of all opening up again a little bit. I mean, you may have got some serious points. If you think they were sort of 8 points clear just before Christmas, in Italy they have a winter break, they have a sort of have a week or two off, very civilised thing to do. Since then, I mean, you know, they lost to Sampdoria at home, which is a big shock, and then drew against Parma at the weekend. And to be honest with you, the goal that the Juve scored, Pirlo got a free kick, big deflection on that free kick. You know, it was, they were lucky to an extent, really, to get a win, to get a draw, excuse me. You know, it could have been a worst-case scenario for them. The missing, I think what Juventus are missing is a sense of that sort of grit and that determination that they showed over the past season, the past 18 months. But winning a lot of games late on in the second half, you know, just weren't giving up at all, very much in the mould of their coach, Antonio Conte. And they kind of lost that a bit. I don't think it's anything too sort of long-term. I don't think we'll sort of think about anything sort of major problems with you. I certainly don't think any other clubs perhaps sort of, you know, worked out their play against them. I think it is just a psychological thing. Conte, the coach, has been talking a lot about, you know, the club having bad luck, which I think is a bit of a misdemeanour, and I think it sort of does them a bit of a disservice. You know, luck's got nothing to do with this, really. It is just down to needing to find that sort of fighting spirit again and needing to sort of work again as a group. It'd be interesting to see how Conte sort of works this. He's a good man for sort of man management and sort of siege mentalities and mind games and all that sort of stuff. You know, very kind of Alex Ferguson or Mourinho, perhaps. So I think we can expect over the sort of coming weeks a bit of sabre rattling, perhaps, from Juve. You know, just to get that kind of up and them. They've got to get back to winning ways. They've got to do it fairly as well, because they've got some tough games coming up. They've also got a Champions League coming up as well. You know, two games against Celtic, and Celtic are going to be bang up for those. So, you know, it's a bit of a weak point for them this season. They've got to get through the coming 8 weeks, I think.
Sorry, Matthew. Does this change at all Juventus' approach to the transfer window with the poor form and the psychological problems?
I think it might do. I mean, there's probably, you know, can imagine the suits at Juventus are probably sort of trying to sort of suggest to each other that perhaps they can get away without bringing in a big-name striker. I mean, there's been lots of talk about Drogba. The sort of the favourite at the moment seems to be Lisandro Lopez over in France. But, you know, it's almost like their big problem really is, yeah, they need a big-name player, but they just need a big player. You know, they've got guys like Pirlo who are different types of leaders. They've got Giorgio Chiellini, who's out injured at the moment, which is a big loss for them. They need a big personality as much as, you know, that could be somebody in any position, if you like. You know, just somebody to put his foot on the ball and say, come on. You know, someone to be Conte's man on the pitch. But, you know, they can surely find that within the squad. I mean, I mentioned Chiellini there, but when he's injured, that personality on the pitch kind of goes a little bit. I mean, you should have seen Conte on Sunday. He was going mad on the touchline. Wanted to be out there, and he was trying to get his sort of messages across to the players and so on. They're really kind of chomping at the bit. So Conte either needs to find somebody that can do that for him, or they need to bring somebody in. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up being someone like Paul Pogba, you know, the guy from Man United, who came over from United that time with a lot of fuss a couple of seasons ago. You know, he's got that kind of fighting spirit about him. So, you know, they just... Yeah, I mean, you're right. It could affect the way they're looking at a January transfer window, I suppose. But I think that, you know, they just need to change the personality of the team. And that can come from within. It has to come from the coach, ultimately, I think.
How important is it to get Asamoah back as well on the flanks? Because Padoan, since a recent spell of playing, hasn't played half as well as we saw Asamoah at the beginning of the season.
No, well, you know, Asamoah is going to be busy with the African Cup of Nations. So, you know, getting him back eventually will be a big deal, because that he just balances out that midfield so well. You know, Pirlo, Asamoah and Vidal are just perfect together. You know, I think they work really, really well. And then this sort of feeds back into what I was saying. Do you really need a striker if they're creating so many chances? You know, anybody, even Nicholas Bentner-Bessin could probably put some of those in. So whether you need a big target man, it's debatable. But yeah, Asamoah is going to, again, another big loss. And I should imagine there'll be a bit of nail-biting going on amongst the Juve staff watching those African Cup of Nations games to make sure it doesn't pick up an injury or anything like that.
Now, the side nipping at Juventus' heels, Lazio, a number of people said they didn't have the squad depth to be able to challenge for a Serie A title. How are they proving everybody wrong here?
I think it's probably got a lot to do with the coach, a lot to do with Petkovic, a guy, you know, who was in the Swiss League this time last season. A lot of people didn't really know too much about him, myself included. You know, he just works really well. He just silently, quietly goes about his job. He's got a lovely sort of calm authority about him, and the players respond to him really well. I've got to put my hands up here. I'm one of the people who still believes, you know, I think Lazio can certainly push for Champions League spot, but whether they're challenges, I'm not sure, because I think they are a little bit too stretched with that squad. You know, Lotito, the chairman, the president, you know, he's notoriously tight, and he talks a good game, but he's not very good at putting his hands in his pocket. And he's been sort of making noises recently about, well, we're going to bring a lot of youth players on, which I think has probably set alarm bells ringing amongst the Lazio fans, because, you know, they did players in to really build on this. And this is a big, you know, this is a big ask now of Lotito. You know, do you want to sort of build on this? Because you're in a position where potentially you could be challenging for the title. You've got a great coach. You've got a nucleus of a great team, but you haven't got a great squad yet. And, you know, you've got Napoli breathing down their necks all the time. So, you know, they've got to either sort of build on this or just hope for the best, I think, really. I hope they do well. It's great. You know, the more clubs that are in the mix at the end of the season, the better. But if you sort of played face-to-face games, you know, Lazio against Juve, Lazio against Napoli, I wouldn't expect them to win those games. You know, I'm still not entirely convinced they can actually win the title.
Do you think age will come in to be an impact on this Lazio side? Because some of their top players, Biava, Closa, Diaz, are all on the wrong side of 30, and in a long season could get tired earlier than most.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it has to be. Age has to be an absolute factor. I mean, Closa, bless him, he's such a great team player. I don't know if you remember, towards the end of last season he was injured. And you would have expected someone of his age, you know, a European tournament coming up, he could have just sat that out and said, OK, that's me done for the season. But he came back. He came back and played the last two games. I think maybe just the one last game, because he wanted to push Lazio one into Europe. You know, he'll give his all. But you're right. I mean, these guys aren't getting any younger. Possibly could even need just some younger blood to come in just to sort of push a bit more enthusiasm around the place as well, and to just, you know, create a bit more space. You know, they just need a plan B, I think. You know, or even a plan C, because Petkovic does like to sort of play around with tactics. You could see that. I mean, they were fairly lucky against Atalanta. They won 2-0 on Sunday, I think Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember now. But, you know, Petkovic reacted within the game to what was going on. I mean, he is somebody that likes to have a lot of players at his disposal. And, yeah, you do wonder whether he's got that many players of that level at his disposal at the moment.
Now, Matthew, away from Serie A, we've got the Coppa Italia tonight. Fiorentina taking on Roma. Neither side has won yet. Both have had two losses since coming back from 2013. Who's in the better position, though, to be going ahead in this one? Obviously, Fiorentina playing at home tonight. But who do you think's most likely to come away with a win tonight?
I think Fiorentina are certainly in a happier place. You know, I think Montella was saying after the game they lost 3-1. Montella was saying, well, this isn't a problem. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to lose, but they probably didn't deserve to lose by that margin. They're still playing well, Fiorentina. They've still got a kind of sense of a progression and of a project going on there. And Giuseppe Rossi is going to be coming in March as well. With Roma, there's just a bit too much of a drama going on, a bit too much of a, you know, they're one game away from a crisis. That game could well be tonight. Their season could well be over tonight if they get knocked out of the Coppa. You know, there's rumours again about De Rossi. There's rumours about the American owners having a chat with Zeman, not being too happy with Zeman, primarily over his treatment of De Rossi. The American owners were very kind of vocal and you know, publicly saying, well, De Rossi's not going anywhere. We want to keep him. And you can see their point. You know, suddenly they offer him this big fat contract and Zeman says, well, I'm not going to play him. So it's an affront almost, I guess, to the owners. And Delassie is clearly, you know, he's one of the best midfielders in the world. He can't waste another season like this. He's either got to go or you know, they've got to play him. So, yeah, Roma, it's a bit of a troubled club at the moment. There's more pressure on them, I think. There may well be pressure on Fiorentina later on in the season because now expectations are getting higher. But expectations are always fairly high at Roma. And I think certainly people were expecting when Zeman came in to have this great zippy style of playing and you know, for them to sort of basically wash over everybody and zip up the table. And that hasn't happened, and it's not happening. And as I say, if Roma lose tonight, then you can happily, you know, clearly imagine that disgruntled fans will start turning up at a training ground and all this sort of stuff that we've seen happen at Roma and other Italian clubs indeed over previous seasons. So the heat's on them more than Fiorentina. And I think the confidence is probably with Fiorentina as well. And as you say, they are playing at home. It promises to be a very good game because, you know, when both teams are on song, they can play some lovely football, so it should be one to watch.
With the De Rossi situation in Roma, though, he's not excelled this season very often when he has played. Like Mattia Destro, is there not a point that you could say they're deserving of their place on the bench?
Yeah, possibly. But, I mean, you know, with De Rossi, you have to give him a decent run out. I think De Rossi's one of those players. I mean, yeah, he comes across as a big, tough guy, but he's one of those players. He needs an arm round him quite a lot. You know, he just needs to feel loved, I think. It's the kind of player that sort of like Mourinho would have, you know, would love. And then you could see him working at Mourinho quite well because Mourinho would just tell him he's the best midfielder in the world and all the stuff that players like to hear. So, you know, he needs to get a run of games. He needs to feel wanted. The problem with Zeman as a coach, you can argue there are plenty of problems with Zeman as a coach, but the big problem is you've got to believe in him. You've got to believe in what he does. You know, and if he tells you, don't worry about defending, just run up the pitch, you've got to be able to do that. You can't question it. And that obviously, being a good Roman boy, I'm just trying to say, well, I'm not doing that. Why should I do that? So, you know, you do wonder whether that relationship has sort of broken down a little bit and maybe possibly Zeman played him a little bit out of position. I'm not sure. But I think he works quite well, so with Michael Bradley. You know, I think that sort of anchors the midfield there really well. And then protects the back four, who need a lot of protecting in the Zeman team. But yeah, I take your point. But yeah, he's got to play. And I think he wants to play. He wants to play. But, you know, ultimately he just wants to play full stop. And he has to go, he'll go. I can't see him playing for another team in Italy. So, I suspect he'll probably go. If he does go, he'll go to Spain or perhaps even England.
Now, there's plenty of talk in the Italian transfer window at the moment, and rumour today that AC Milan rejected an opportunity to sign David Beckham again today. Can you tell us anything about this, Matthew, about why the Rossoneri would have rejected Beckham?
Yeah, they've got a little thing at the moment in Milan about wanting to sort of bring it comes from Berlusconi down, basically. So I think they probably just saw Beckham as being a little bit too old for them now. Perhaps a little bit too much of a sideshow sort of brewing up as well. He did really well at Milan and they respect him a lot there. But I think it just kind of goes against their current sort of way of looking at signings, their transfer market activity, which is sort of going low. You also, I have to say, wonder whether Beckham's wage structure or something like that may have sort of put them off because they are trying to, although they're cashing on Pato, you know, they haven't got a lot of money, Milan. So the money they have got, they've got to be really careful with. So the idea, even getting Beckham in on a free, you know, he doesn't come cheap. And that would have been a problem for them. So, you know, we don't want to spend wages on someone of that age. I mean, if you go back a few seasons, exactly what happened with Pirlo. He got to a certain age and they decided to get rid of him. Their mistake, of course, but that's the way the club is run these days. You know, the days of big, huge signings coming in just to bring them in, really. It was having an awful lot in the early 90s just to get a bit of glamour and a bit of marketing pizzazz or whatever around the place. Those days have seriously gone at Milan. It's a completely different club these days.
Does that then rule out the chance of Balotelli coming in as well? We've seen Berlusconi apologise for his comments about Mario.
Yeah, well, you know, we're quite used to Berlusconi saying strange things, but that was an odd one. I mean, he was so sort of, he called him a bad apple and indeed, a couple of weeks ago, was saying I like him as a player, but you know I don't like him as a man, and all this sort of thing. And yeah, a bit odd that he would suddenly backtrack. But I think it's a bit of a red herring. I seriously would be a massive surprise It'd be great news for Italian football, but it'd be a massive surprise if Balotelli did end up going back to Milan. And again, this is really all about wages as opposed to sort of transfer fees or maybe even getting him on loan or whatever. You know, Milan has to be so careful with their wage structure at the moment. But Balotelli's making a lot of noises, and Galliani, his right-hand man, a lot of noises about bringing sort of youngsters on and you know, bringing youngsters into the team. But, you know, they don't come cheap either. So, you know, as I say, Milan have got to be really careful with the way they're going at the moment. The money they got for Pato, yeah, they can get some players in with that, but I say they've got to be careful with that money because they're not going to have that money, you know, again in a year's time or anything like that. There's just not that cash around at Milan anymore. Their problem as well, of course, is they've got to get in the Champions League or they've got to progress in this tournament, which I'm not convinced they're going to do, if they want to attract bigger players come next season. You can just... I think the next year, 18 months, are going to be crucial ones for Milan. And a lot of this has got to do with that sort of the fourth Champions League spot being taken away from Italy. It puts so much pressure on clubs in Serie A now. You know, the bigger clubs, the sort of the classic seven sisters that we all sort of knew and loved from the 1990s, they all want a Champions League spot. There's only three of them left now. You know, it's really kind of... It's great for the neutral because it's added to the excitement of that championship. But big clubs are going to miss out. And if you know, if Milan miss out on the Champions League next season, then I think that'll have a massive knock-on effect for them.
Be interesting to see what that effect that does have on the Rossoneri. Just one last one, Matthew, if that's okay with you. Wesley Schneider, any more news on what's happening with Wesley? Because it seems like he's stalling on this Galatasaray move.
Yeah, I mean, Massimo Moratti, the Inter president, is getting rather impatient about this, and I get the impression an awful lot of the Italian press are as well. Inter's problem is that, you know, until Schneider goes, or until they know what Schneider's doing, it's blocking all their transfer activity up. You know, the whole idea of getting rid of Schneider is, again, it's down to wages. It's freeing up cash and it's freeing up space within the team as well. I mean, they've got their, you know, they've had their eye on Paulino, the lad from Sao Paulo, for an age now, you know, for the best part of a year. But he's seen as almost a direct replacement for Schneider. So they, you know, Sao Paulo asking for, I think it's like 20 million euros, something like that. Now, Inter can afford that, but only if Schneider goes. So this is holding everything up for them. So everyone's getting really impatient. Everyone's keenly watching to see what his wife says on the Twitter feed, because that seems to be the best source of news for Wesley at the moment. But as far as I'm aware, he's holed up in his house, and he's not speaking to any press. I get the impression he's not too keen on Galatasaray. He's pretty much the only club that have put an offer for him. I do think he'd probably go to the Premier League. You know, there is a window there for Liverpool if they want to put an offer in. But again, you know, Schneider's fucking... You know, for that last big contract, or for that last big wage, he's pretty much a man out of time now, really, because not many clubs can sort of match those wages. Not many clubs can offer it to him. You know, 2 years ago, Man United would have snapped his arm off. You know, they would have loved to have got him in, but he's lost so much value because the last 2 years, Inter have had a troubled time. He's had a troubled time. He needs a fresh start. And you know, as I say, I don't want to talk and be rude about the Turkish league, but I don't think that's for him. I think he still feels he has a lot to offer, you know, in a high-profile European league, i.e. Spanish, German, even Italian still, or indeed the Premier League. So he's got to work something out. And I think Inter treated him fairly shabbily. I think, you know, they don't come out as too well either. They pretty much sort of shunted him out. But it's become a bit of a mess. It's become a bit of a soap opera. And I think the sooner it gets sorted out, the better, really. But as I say, this is ideal. If somebody wants him, they should come in now. You know, if an English club wants him, now's the time, I think. They just come in and make an offer and see what happens.
Matthew, I know we've had you on the show for a very long time today, and I apologise for taking up so much of your valuable time, but I thank you very much indeed for coming on today and joining us.
No, absolute pleasure. It's always good to chat, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
We'll definitely have you back on as soon as we can. Matthew Barker there, freelance Italian football journalist, joining us on World Football Daily to talk all things Serie A. It's been an absolutely frantic start to the Serie A season. Plenty of moves, as we say, being made, of course, on and off the pitch. Giuseppe Rossi ended up joining Fiorentina, and they play tonight against Roma in the Coppa Italia as that continues to move its way through the Italian season as kind of a subplot to everything that goes on in Serie A as well. It'll be a very entertaining and interesting game tonight. These are two sides that I really like watching, Roma and Fiorentina. Both play nice attacking football. And I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to sit down and watch the whole of the Rome-Lazio game, the Rome derby, early on in the season.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.